If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, my guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. From the last episode onwards, we started a series of discussions related to Tahara, or purity, and we delved into some of the jurisprudential laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei regarding that concept. Let's continue along the same line with this question, Sheikh, if you don't mind. If a person goes to the bathroom and there's no water available, what should one do for purification? In the absence of water, what alternatives does Islamic law permit for cleansing after relieving oneself? Can one use stones, tissues, or other dry materials as substitutes? What are the conditions that make such dry purification valid? For example, the impurity not spreading beyond the outlet or not involving urine. If water becomes available afterwards, is it obligatory to purify again?
Right. Well, to be short, brief, and concise, I should say that the urinary organ cannot be purified without water. Water is the only purifying agent that purifies anything, including the urinary organ. No stone, no tissue or paper or any other thing can purify the urinary organ. But when it comes to the other genital area, like, for example, the rectum, if a person has no water and there's no hope of finding water, of course, he can use 3 pieces of stone or 3 pieces of paper, tissue, or something like that to just remove the essential impurity.
Right.
And when there's no essential impurity left, like there's no trace of impurity, feces, or human stool left on the outer side of the rectum, then it's sufficient. 3 stones will suffice, and it's not necessary to use more than 3 pieces of stones. And of course, this is a solution offered by the religious authorities. I would say that it's not necessary to wash that area, even if later one happens to find water. It's not necessary to wash the rectum or the bottom after one finds water. When it comes to the urinary organ, it must be washed, and you cannot pray with the urinary organ unwashed.
What about the rectum?
The rectum is not necessary to wash it. If you wash it, it's okay. Otherwise, if there's no water, because we're talking about a situation in which there's no water.
Uh-huh. And the prayer is okay unwashed rectum?
Yes, of course. But unless, provided that you have to make sure that there's no trace of feces left.
Or the najasa not spreading to the clothes.
Yeah, of course. If the najasa is so much excessive that it spreads around, okay, then it's not sufficient. It's necessary to wash the rectum as well.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue your program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio. Don't go away.
The
followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/Ian. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to tahara or purity based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Well, Sheikh Javid, if blood or any other external impurity appears on the stool, is it sufficient to clean the rectum with paper, stone, or other materials? Sometimes, due to medical or dietary reasons, traces of blood or other impurities appear when defecating. In such cases, is it still valid to perform istinja, cleansing, with dry materials such as paper or stones? Or is water mandatory because of the presence of any najasa? How does one distinguish between normal fecal matter and additional impurities that change the ruling?
Well, as we said last time, I said that, okay, it's not necessary to wash the urine, the rectum, when there's no water. When in the absence of water, only three pieces of stone or three pieces of paper can be used to remove the substances and then the essential impurity. But there are three exceptions. The first exception is if another najasa like blood appears along with the feces, in that case, of course, water must be used, and three pieces of stone will not suffice. And then if external najasa reaches the anus, if external najasa reaches the rectum area, again, external najasa means urine or blood or something reaches the anus, then again, three pieces of stone will not be sufficient. It's necessary to wash that area to make sure that it is pure. And then the third condition is that if more than usual najasa spreads around the anus or the rectum area, and that is considered to be excessive, a kind of more than usual amount of feces spreads around, even if there is no blood, again, the three pieces of stone will not suffice. Three pieces of stone will not suffice, and it will be necessary to wash the rectum.
Mm-hmm. What about the other dry materials, such as tissues, that you see in the West, for example, they cleanse themselves with it? Mm-hmm. Is it actually purifying?
Yeah, it is purifying, provided that there is no external najasa, there is no excessive impurity spreading around the rectum area. But the urinary organ cannot be purified by the tissue, by tissue.
By anything except water?
Yes, of course.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's take another break and then we'll be back and continue our programs, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, shortly.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Welcome back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to tahara or purity based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Church of it, what are the essential impurities or nijasa that must be avoided, that should be avoided? Islamic law identifies specific substances as inherently impure,
yes,
or najis, right?
Yeah.
Contact with which renders other things impure unless properly purified.
Right.
What are the rules or these main categories, basically, and what are the evidences for their impurity? Furthermore, how does one distinguish between intrinsic impurity and impurity acquired by contact?
Right. Okay. Well, there are as many as 10 things that are essentially impure, essentially mm-hmm. impure.
Yes.
The first is urine, of course. Urine is impure.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is the human feces or stool. And then the third one is semen.
Yes.
Semen is najis, and it makes no difference whether the semen comes from an animal or a human being. As long as the animal has the gushing blood, it is semen is impure. And there are a lot of animals that have gushing blood. For example, arteries are cut, then you see the blood actually jumping out and throwing out.
Yes.
So that's called gushing blood, okay? So the semen of such animals, whether it's a cow or a sheep or a dog or a jackal or a lion, is impure. And then we have dead body. The dead body is also impure. It's the dead body of a human being, the dead body of an animal that mm-hmm. has not been slaughtered Islamically, according to Islamic procedure.
Yes.
All the dead bodies are impure. Mm-hmm. But then there's a difference between the dead body of a human being and the dead body of animals. If you touch a dead body, the dead body of a human being, you will have to wash yourself. Mm. You have to perform ghusl for touching a dead body. But it's not the case with touching the dead body of an animal. Okay, if there is a dead body, if there is a cow, if there is a fox that is dead and you touch it, you don't have to wash your body and do the ritual ablution. It's just, if your hand is wet, you just need to wash your hand upon touching that animal. So these are some najasa. And then we have dogs and pigs. Of course, all of them are impure according to the Quran and the riwayat that we have in our sources. Also, a non-Muslim who does not believe in any Abrahamic religions, who does not believe in God, who does not believe in the Prophet, and who is completely an atheist, or who is a polytheist, of course. So he is also, according to many religious scholars, according to the contemporary scholars, he is also impure, mm-hmm. according to Islamic sects. And of course, and the rules are very lengthy. I didn't want to mention and touch on the rules. And when it comes to, of course, to another ritually impure thing, it is the wine and alcoholic liquors. Mm. Okay, wine and alcoholic liquors are also impure. And also the sweat of an animal which persistently eats najasat. If there is an animal that is habituated mm-hmm. to eating the human feces or the feces or urine or milk of a pig, milk of a dog, for example, that animal is impure unless it is confined to a place. And for example, if it's a camel, the camel should be confined for 40 days until it's purified. If it's a cow, it should be confined for 20 days.
Yes.
If it is a sheep, it should be confined to a place for 10 days. And then it should be given and provided with pure fodder.
Right.
Fodder. In that case, of course, it will be made pure and it's okay to use it as meat and after it is slaughtered Islamically.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. I appreciate it. And thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to your own program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio, in which we try to deal with some of the jurisprudential laws related to Tahara or purity based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. And until another show, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
جميل وهاب لطيف توهاب. لا إله إلا